just been there for us, and she's been like a backbone and a very constant person in my life. And Mom, I just want to honor you and thank God for your life. Amen. I want to talk about covenant God. Okay, maybe. 3, 2, 1. All right. Sorry, Gil, I may put you in a tight spot. But if we don't get it, I just need you to, if you have a Bible, that'll be a very good thing. Ah, there we go. Okay. Now, bear with me. This is new for me. All right. There we go. Covenant God. You know, today, you know, as I was preparing this sermon, I was asking God to just give you a piece of his counsel. But I think God just gave me the whole counsel. Amen? So you're going to get this morning the whole counsel. Okay, so I need you to listen up, you know, look up if you feel like you may dropping off or dozing off, you know. If you see somebody next to you that's dozing off, by all means, just reach out and just slap them. I mean, just tap them on their shoulders and tell them, please stay awake. Okay, we're receiving the word of God. Father, I just want to thank you for this privilege and honor to share your word this morning. I thank you, O God, because your word is spirit and your word is life, O God. It's life to us, O God. And I pray, God, even as we hear your word this morning, that we will not leave this place the same, but that your word would produce that which before the foundations of this world, you ordained it to produce in our lives, fruit, and fruit that will last. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody is very familiar with Genesis 12, 1 and 3. This is the story of God showing up on the scene. See, I don't have an introduction to give you. I'm just going to get right into it. God showed up on the scene after Abraham buried his father and told him three things. God said to Abraham, leave your country, leave your relatives, and leave your father's house. That's the first thing. So get out. Get out from what you know to be comfortable. Two, he says, I will bless you. And the third thing he says, all families of the earth will be blessed because of you. Amen? And Abraham, the Bible says, he obeyed. It doesn't say why he did it. Did God appear to him in fire that he was so afraid? He's like, oh God, I have to obey God. Or did God appear and he experienced the holiness of God and he was awestruck and say, man, I have to obey God. I want more of that. Look, we don't know. All we can do is imagine, because the Bible didn't say it. But let's talk about imagining something. And I want you to think about what the conversation was like between Abraham and his wife, Sarai, after God appeared to him. Abraham, or Abram at that time, that was his name, says, hun, we have to pack our things and go. Sarai, oh, hun, where are we going? Abraham, I don't know, but God will show us. And Sarai, okay, how are we going to live? Abraham, don't worry. God will bless us. Sarai, okay, what do we say to our friends and family? Abraham, hun, that's the cool thing. We're doing this for them. God is going to bless them because of us. Ladies, do we have any ladies in the house? How many of you would follow such a man? Praise God. We have a hand. Praise God. You see, his life was about to change drastically. With only one constant, God. Well, as the story continues, Genesis 12:7, God showed up after Abraham traveled over 1,500 kilometers to a land called Canaan. God appears and said, Abraham, this is the land that I will give you. God also showed up when Pharaoh sought to take Abram, wife for himself. God showed up. He showed up when Abraham mobilized 318 men of his household to defeat 5 Gentile kings. God showed up when Abraham was frustrated that he had no son, and God made a covenant with him. Genesis 15:18. God showed up when Abraham thought that Ishmael would be the son of promise. God affirmed him that Ishmael is not the son of promise, but that a son would be born to him at the age of 99 years old. God changed his name and he encouraged him. From the birth of Isaac to Sodom and Gomorrah, for you that know the story, to King Abimelech, to offering Isaac his son on the altar, Abraham experienced the faithfulness of God. Circumstances where God came through for him over and over and over and over again made it easier for Abraham to put his faith in God. Now, God showed Abraham who he is, his character, which spurred him to be what we all know as the father of faith. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. See, faithfulness is who God is. It is his nature. You can't separate God and faithfulness. Abraham grew in faith was a result of a faithful God. If God was not faithful to do what he say he will do, Abraham would not have grown in faith, and we would not have known him to be the father of faith. Now, when I read through this story of Abraham, there are three things that came that was very clear. And I want to share those quickly with you. The first thing is, in Genesis 17, God is a covenant-making God. Amen? Who knows what a covenant is? All right, we see hands. Okay? It's an agreement between God and man. It's where God showed up out of the blue, like how he showed up in Abraham. He was living in his father's house, and God just comes to him and says, Abraham, I want to bless you. I want to make your name great. I want to really bless you. I want to change your name. When I'm finished with you, when people look at you, they'll be like, oh, what happened to that guy? Amen. God's is his agreement. It's not only he wants to show his goodness towards us. That's what, when you have an agreement with God, you will experience the goodness of God. When you have the covenant of God, God would lavish upon you his goodness. And so, God is a covenant-making God. So he shows up and he tells Abraham, Abraham, I am God Almighty. Can I get an amen? I'm God Almighty. I will bless you. I will multiply you exceedingly. You will be a father of multitude of nations. I will make you fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. That's God to him. And you see, it is not beyond God to do that. Amen? So one, he's a covenant-making God. The second thing that came, that became very clear, is that his covenant brings us into relationship with him. See, God told Abraham, I will be your God, and you and your descendants after you. Praise God. He takes responsibility for Abraham and his lineage. God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offsprings after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. That is who he is. He is God. Amen. And the third thing that became very clear is his covenant brings us into his work. Abraham was to circumcise this household and to walk before God and be blameless. Amen? He was to circumcise his household and to walk before God and be blameless. So God began to bringing him into his work. Now, we are partakers. Now, I should say, why is this important? To know that God is a covenant-making God. Why is this important? That his covenant brings us into relationship and brings us into his work. In Hebrews 9:15, it says, we are partakers of the covenant that God made to Abraham. But moreover, there's this scripture in Hebrews 10, Hebrews 13:8. It says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Brothers and sisters, today God is still a covenant-making and keeping God. He did not change. He did not change. God has made a covenant with those who believe. He has made a covenant with us. And I want us to dive a little bit into that. Amen? And pull out some very tantalizing, delicious things that we can feed on this morning. Amen? God has made a covenant with those who believe. That's us. In Hebrews 10, 16 and 17, it says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. Praise God. Amen. He says, after those days, we need to understand what after those days signify to understand the weight of what God is saying to you and me today. You see, after those days signifies the day in which God fulfilled his covenant with Abraham. You see, God blessed Abraham. He became a great nation, and we know that nation today to be called Israel. God established himself as their God when he delivered them out of the hands of the Egyptians with many signs and wonders. Israel did enter into the promised land and became nations. Nations that was ruled by kings. You see, God kept his deal with Abraham. After those days also signifies the failure of Israel to walk before God and be blameless. They rebelled against him. He sent prophet. They rebelled against the prophet. The law was written to keep them in relationship with God, but it never touched their hearts. You see, the new covenant says, I will put my law on their hearts and write them on their minds. Then he adds, I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. And he did it by sending his son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for the sins of the world. Now listen, to believe this, to hold and to hug this and to embrace it is an act of God himself. Because Jesus said when he was walking the earth, he says, no one can come to me unless the Father draws them to me. Amen? So all of us that are sitting here that are believers are drawn by God himself to Jesus. Praise God. Now to the believer, the person who God draws near to himself, who hears, I will put my laws on their hearts and write them in their minds, should be hopeful. Because what Israel could not do after witnessing signs and wonders, God has covenanted with us through Jesus Christ to do. And if there's anything that we know from looking at Abraham, is that the God who says it will do it. He is faithful. And he adds, I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more. See, the failure of Israel was due to their inability to keep God's word. And as a result, they were constantly falling into sin. And as a result, judgment after judgment after judgment came. Now, like I said, the God we know from observing Abraham, he is faithful. He will do what he says he will do. He will put his words on our hearts. And he will write it on our minds. Because one thing we know about the heart, out of the heart flows the river of life. What I have in here will come out in my actions. It will come out in my speech. But God has covenanted with us. I mean, that's a place I want to dance. You know, sometimes we take it for granted that we can be sitting on our bed thinking about all the different things. Even to come out to church on a Sunday morning. Sometimes we take it for granted that, oh, I get up, I roll off. We take it for granted that there's something that is writing on our hearts, you know, that we should not neglect the fellowship of the brethren. Sometimes we take it for granted. Sometimes we take it for granted when we stand up and we just feel, oh, we're worshiping God. We're worshiping God. We're praising him. We're exalting him. That the word of God also sometimes is stirred up in us. That the Holy Spirit is doing a work that is helping our hands push to the heavens to worship and praise him. Sometimes we take these things for granted. That we are able to go out and minister and to do good. Because God said in his word, I am writing my words on your heart. I am putting it in your mind. Praise God. Sometimes we take it for granted that sometimes when sin is coming against us, sometimes we just put a mark in the line, a line in the mark and say, no, I can't do this. Sometimes we take it for granted what God has covenanted to do. But God has covenanted with us. I will remember your sins no more. Secondly, like Abraham, his covenant brings us into relationship with him. Hebrews 10, 9 and 22 says, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Are we okay in the house today? Amen. Do we need to stand up and stretch? Are we good? If you're good, say amen. Amen. If you need to stand up and stretch, I wouldn't be offended. Okay, you can just stand up and stretch. We need to get the word of God in. Amen. His covenant brings us into relationship with him. In verse 20, there's an interesting word. It says, line. It says, by the new and living way. See, the last 3 years of Jesus' life, many a times we are fixed on the climax of his death, his resurrection. But what he has also left us is an example of how to live our lives. When Jesus lived, he never referred to his followers as Christians. Do you know that? The name Christian came about as a degrading term for those that believe, and it's only mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. A Christian, by definition, is someone who believes in Jesus Christ. It is not a bad name, but in my opinion, the word Jesus used to describe his followers holds more weight. He refers to them as disciples. And a disciple means a learner. Can somebody say a learner? A learner, a pupil, an apprentice, a follower. A disciple looks at Jesus as the authority and the example for everything. Can I get an amen? I was reading a book by Andy Stanley called Christian, and this is what he had to say. He says, Christians refer to what a person believes, the word Christian. But a disciple refers to a person, what a person actually does. You see, Jesus laid down his life to give us a new and living way It is not just a belief. It is for us, with the power of the Holy Spirit, to learn to live like Jesus. We need to be taking our cues from him. Amen? It's not me or Pastor Ralph or, you know, some of the elders. Yes, we are there as an example, but we ought to be taking our cues from the Master. It says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You see, the Old Testament, right? There was the outer altar with the tabernacle. They burnt incense. And then in the inner layer, there was the holies of holies with the ark and the commandments. This was reserved for the priest who, when he made sacrifices on behalf of his sins and the sins of the people. Now, they did this once a year. Now, under the new covenant, there is nothing that is between us and God. That is why the Hebrew writer admonishes us. He says, draw near. Draw near. Draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. There is nothing that should hold you back from the presence of God. Draw near. Draw near. He has forgiven your sins. He has cleansed your iniquities. Draw near. Draw near. There is nothing that should hold you back. Fear should not hold you back. He has a plan for you. The way he's made a covenant with Abraham is the same way that he's made a covenant with us. And the God who says it will do it. Draw near, draw near, draw near, draw near, draw near. His covenant allows us to participate in his work. Hebrews 10:23. So amazing how the lights just go dim and, you know, kind of, you know, don't worry if you, remember what I said, guys. If anybody's closing their eyes, just give them a gentle tap. I praise God. It says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. His covenant work is love. It says, stir up one another to love. Can you handle that? Stir up one another to love and good works. 1 John 4:7-8, he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God is love. God is saying, you're not born of me if you don't love. He's saying, you don't know me if you don't love. Amen? He says, love one another. You know, for us Christians, it can be easy to love people on the outside, but very difficult to love each other who are on the inside. Very difficult. Right? Very, very difficult. But God is saying, love. In fact, in John 13:34-35, he says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love, praise God, just as I, you are also to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you what? Love, have love for one another. See, to love Jesus, it's not this romantic love. This love Jesus is talking about, it's not this romantic love. But I assure you that it's the love when you get spit on, you still love. When you get slapped in the face, you still love. When you're beaten almost to death, you still love. When nails are driven between your hands and your feet, he still loves. And yet he hung on the cross saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It is a choice. He loved us when we did not deserve it. He loved us when we were his enemies. He loved us when we offended him. He loved us. What great love has the Father has for us? See, Jesus saw through the evil, and he chose to love. And he's calling us to love the way he loved. Praise God. Are you a disciple this morning? You know, when someone offends you, what do you do? Praise God. And someone offends you, what do you do? You know, our tendency at times is to stay away. Because ain't nobody like getting hurt. Ain't nobody like getting hurt. When someone's personality clashes with yours, what do we do? What do we do? Oh, you know, the personality is just, you know, I'm like outgoing and this person's like so like what do we do? Have you gotten slapped? Did they slap you? Did your friends betray you when you need them the most? Can we be like Jesus? Does he have any say at all in your life? Does Jesus have a say in your life? And if he has a say in your life, then we need to love. We need to love. We need to humble ourselves and do what we need to do. Because there is something I was reading, I was in a study in the Bahamas, and I came across something that Andy Stanley said, and it blowed me away. And he said, when we choose to lie, we keep a bit of ourselves. When we choose to lie, we take away. So if I go up to Chris, and Chris said, "Man, Dunstan, how was the worship?" And I was like, no, he asked me, "How was the worship?" And I was like, "Man, it was awesome, man." But in my head, I was like, "Man, that was one horrible. That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my entire life," right? And so whenever what I've done, I have separated myself from him. I am not being authentic with him, right? And so our relationship can only go so far, right? Because I'm not authentic. He may be authentic, but I'm not authentic. Oh, so how are you doing? Oh, I'm fine. I'm blessed. I'm doing great. This time, hell and high water, you are suffering. And you need someone to pray for you. You know, we have this tendency of what we call little lies. But you see, what that does, it prevents true and authentic relationship. And if we are going to grow in love and grow together, we need to say what we need to say, and we need to do what we need to do with a heart that is clear before God and a conscience that is clear before God. Amen. Amen. It says a new commandment. Man, we ought to love each other in such a way, in such a remarkable way, that those looking in will be like, "What? What's that? What? What's? What? What just happened there? What? What's going on in this place? This is love. Our leverage in this culture is love. It's not the name Christian. Many times we opt for the name. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'm going to church on Sunday. Woohoo! I'm doing the clap, the dance, the skip, and then I head home. Right? We do the Christian thing. Woo! Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Ta-ta. Hey brother, you hope you're good. See you later. Next week Sunday, then you see the person. Hey brother! How are you doing? Good. Next week Sunday. Then if you don't see you, then you know you go on vacation. It'll be 2-3 weeks, whatnot. Hey, brother! Love. Love. Our leverage in this culture is love. It's not about carrying a name. It's not about carrying a name. God says, they will know that you are my disciples by the way you love one another. Abraham, when he walked with God, this is the cool thing. He interacted with God on so many different levels that he was able to come across, and the faithfulness of God imprinted on him. You see, when God is faithful, so what all he needed to do was also to have faith in a faithful God. You know, it's easy to have faith in a faithful God. You know, when this person comes true for you over and over again, it's like, it's a no-brainer to have faith in that God. So when we saw God's faithfulness, Abraham saw God's faithfulness, and it brought about a radical nature in him of faith. Now, when we hear of God who covenanted to put his word in us and forgive us of our sins, when we see Jesus passionately lived and walked to the cross, what do we see? What do you see? What do you see? You know, I'm floored because I say, God, why do you love us so much? Because I see love. I don't understand it. I don't deserve it. We don't understand it. We don't deserve it. But yet he has given it to us. Why do you love me so much? Do you know where God took me from to where I am today? I'm not supposed to be here. It is only by the love of God. To look on God is to look on love. He says, I am love. So love is his nature. Love is his nature. You want to know how to love? Look to Jesus. There's the Bible, amen? We have a Bible. You can read John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have the testaments of Jesus Christ. If you want to know how to love, look at Jesus. You know, every now and then as Christians, we need to go through that. Amen? Get our bearings and, you know, and start loving again. Amen? When we feel dry, oh, how did Jesus love? You know, we get back in there and try to love again. Amen? Just keep looking because we actually have an example, guys. Amen? Like we have an example. And so we keep loving. God so loves us. Andy Stanley said something. God so loves us, we owe it to others to love them. More specifically, because God loves others, we owe it to God to love others. Do you know that? God's love is for everyone. Church, I just want to encourage you. I'm throwing some bombs, but I want to encourage you. Amen. That the time to play Christian, it's gone, man. We need to step out. We need to love. We need to develop authentic relationships. We need to know that we are in a covenant with a covenant-keeping God. Amen? And he is waiting for us to step out. It is the character of love that we are called to work. When God has given us the Great Commission, he says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain in which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. It is the character of love, the nature of love, that we are called to do this work. You don't have love. Just stop it. Stop. Because you may misrepresent Jesus Christ. Ouch, right? I know. I know, I actually had to prepare this thing, right? And God was just dealing with me in my heart. So, love is the nature that we do this work. God's love is for everyone. And you know, he said something, I am with you. Amen? He's with us. Just like how Abraham became the father of faith. There are a lot of fathers, daughters, sisters, brothers in here that can be called father, brother, sister, uncle, aunt, niece of love. Amen? He says, I'm with you always. This is a lifetime work. This is until we die. So I'm with you to the end of the age. It's a work until we die. But it's such a good work. It is such a freeing work. When you look at Jesus, it's easy to love. Amen? It's easy to have the hard conversations. Amen? It's easy. And you see the benefits of it. And once, like Abraham, you practice and practice and practice and practice, you get better. Amen? And you can be open for all. Because the world needs love. Let's rise to our feet. God is good. And all the time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to imprint on us and make sure we leave this place with that nature to love. What would it be like if we love our families the way God loves us? What would it be like if we love our spouses the way God loves us? What would it be like if we love each other, the church, the way God loves us? I don't know about you, but my heart is to do that. My heart is to love the way Jesus loved. And I want to challenge you this morning, where you are right now, just to talk to God for a couple of minutes. I know we can all identify people in our lives, people in our families that are hard to love, people that, you know, they're tough, even in this house, that you may find hard to love. It's not about you. God is saying, hey, look at me. Look at me. So press on. Stir up love. Press in. Stir up love. Would you just talk to God for a minute? Father, there's somebody, you just lift him before God this morning and say, God, help me to love. Help me to love this person. Help me to put aside myself and help me to love. Because love is the excellent way. This is no romantic. This is us sometimes going to people and talking and asking for forgiveness. This is about doing whatever is necessary to have authentic relationship, doing your best that you can do. This is what this is about. This is not about leaving here and thinking, oh, I've prayed about it. You need to do more than pray. We need to love like Jesus loved. Maybe we need to go back to the Word of God and begin to open Scripture and say, Jesus, how did you do it? Help me to love. Help me to love. I don't know what this means for you this morning, but I know what I gotta do. So we need to figure out what we have to do. And if your heart is clean and there is nobody that has, then you can praise God. But make sure that there's no deception there as you praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus is in this place. He's looking at our hearts. Pray, church. Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Receive our prayers today. Receive our prayers today, Lord. Oh, Lord, receive our prayers today, Lord. We desire to bring more than a song to you today, Lord. We desire, oh God, to love like Jesus loved. We desire to be more like you, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We want your word in our hearts. We want it on our minds, oh God. We want that our sins to be forgiven, Lord. Help us to love, Lord. Help us to love, Lord. Help us to love, Lord, like you love. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, 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 Jesus. We worship. If you're standing here and you just want us to pray with you, I'm going to ask you to come forward as we worship. You can come forward to the altar, Pastor Ralph, myself, elders. We will pray with you.